All right, let's declare God's word. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work.
I am bearing fruit in every good work.
And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God.
I'm increasing in the knowledge of God.
Let's say one more time. I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. As the word of God is coming for this evening, it's enlightening my heart, it's changing my thoughts, and making me exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Believe it, turn to your neighbor and say,
the Lord is good.
All right, what we are doing is just to get ourselves excited, ready to receive the word of God. Yeah, you know, I'm very happy. You know, I'm very happy. I'll tell you the reason. Because I found a title for that my faith. You know, you have done life of faith, walk of faith, power of faith, faith basics, faith, advanced faith this, you know. Yes, let me reserve that one, advanced faith something. Because we'll keep on going around and around and around. Okay? So, during the week, I just had a flash of inspiration. Total faith. Come on. So, I want to start today talking about total faith. All right? That's what I want to talk about. Can you just say it with me? Total faith.
Total faith.
Now, this is how we are going to start. All right. Let's start from the book of Mark chapter 9. The book of Mark chapter 9 is where we start from. This is a story we know. Now let me just warn you ahead of time. Many of the things I'm going to say, you said that one before. I know. Are you getting my point? I know I've said it before. So allow me to say it again. Okay? Yes, so Peter said, I know you know these things, but I will not neglect to remind you of them. All right? Where there is no repetition, people are not established. Okay? That's a matter of fact. Where there is no repetition, the people are not established. And that's why we have to keep saying these things again and again until we are full understanding concerning them. And then again, I'd like to recommend this book that I wrote some years ago titled Great Faith Can Be Yours. Okay? It's not available in print right now, but you can find it on our website and it's free to download as a PDF file. It's less than 1 megabyte, all right? Just put it on your computer, on your phone, on your tablet, and you can read it. I really, really recommend that book. And many of the things I'm going to say, of course, they will be inside there, but of course, new light will be coming forth as we are speaking. So these are the reasons why we keep on saying this, so that God can give us the revelation that we address our situation each time. Okay, so the book of Mark chapter 9, a man came to the Lord, went to the disciples, and he wanted them to pray for his child. And then they did, and nothing happened. That's in verse 9, in from verse 17. The Bible says, one of the crowd answered him. He said, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with the spirit that makes him mute. And whenever he seizes him, he slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. Please, I want you to understand this. He wanted the disciples, he didn't come to Jesus initially, he went to his disciples. Cast out this spirit from my son. And they were not able to do that. So that was when he now came to the Lord Jesus. And he now said in verse 19, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? He said, bring him to me. The Bible says that they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father answered, from childhood. And I said, if you can do anything, take pity on us. Okay, let me just read the whole verse in case somebody is following this. He said, it has thrown him, in verse 22, it has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, that is a question mark, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. If you read the good news in that particular portion, it says that I believe, but my faith is not enough, something like that. All right? Help me, because my own faith is not enough. And then the Bible now says, further down in verse 25, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said he is dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. Now, I want to just bring out the issue here about the unbelief and the fact that the man was told, if you can believe. In verse 23, you will notice that the Lord Jesus said to the man, when the man said, if you can do anything, help us. And he said, now, depending on the translation you are reading, I'm reading the New American Standard. He said, if you can, that is, are you telling me if you can? It is not, the problem is not whether I can do it, it's whether you can believe. And he said, if you can believe, everything is possible to the man that can believe. I want to start today by explaining this issue of faith, what it is again. The Bible tells us clearly that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And when it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, what it means is that the pleasing of God is totally impossible, except there is faith in the heart. Bear that in mind. Now, there's something I want to explain here again. Just quickly go down to the book of Mark chapter 11, which is a very well-known portion of the Gospels, especially if you grew up under the word of faith. The book of Mark chapter 11, just flip your Bible a few pages, you'll be there. Now, what I want to say is my own understanding after reading this Bible up and down, I'm trying to get this in context. I think what I'm saying is correct. My own reading of this. We know the story about how Jesus was passing by in verse 20, and he saw a fig tree, and then he cursed the tree. That is, before that, sorry, not verse 20 now. Where did he curse the tree now? Now, if you see from around verse 12, the Lord Jesus was going into that city, and then after he left Bethany, the Bible says he became hungry, and he saw a fig tree at a distance, and then he was upset about the fact that the tree was not producing anything. And he said to it in verse 14, "No, may no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the Bible says the disciples were listening. Then when they were coming out in verse 20, it was passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Or literally, have the faith of God. All right, literal Greek. Truly I say to you, please, I want you to understand what he said. Have faith in God, have the faith of God. He said, this is an explanation of it. If you have faith in God, if you have the faith of God working in your life, you will say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. All right? And you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that whatever you say is going to happen, it will be granted to you. All right? Now, let me just read it the way he said it, verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Now please, I want to read that verse 24. Like I said at the beginning, this is how I understand it. I haven't read the Bible here and there, and getting the context in which, that the spirit of the context in which the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. I do not believe he was giving it as an instruction that whenever you want to pray, believe that you have received and you will have it. I haven't read it. This is what comes across to me. That he was giving them as a condition. That is, when you pray, if you can believe. He wasn't commanding, make sure you believe. And I say this because I read what he said in Mark chapter 9. And I read the way he was speaking here. Why were you able to do this? Remember, when he cursed the tree, he wasn't fighting the tree. When he cursed the tree, he kind of made a passing statement. All right? He was not... please, if you have a different opinion, you can let me know later and explain to me why you don't think my opinion is right. Okay? The way it sounds to me was as if he just said it in passing and was not planning to think about the tree again. But because of the force working inside him, I hope you are getting my point. You know, I read a story once that a woman came to a man. The child was sick. She wanted this man of God to pray. And the man said, I'm tired. And it's happened to me before. Somebody wants to talk to you, and you say, no, I can't. And the person won't let up. All right? So the man, after some time, he got tired, like, madam, please let me be. He touched to push her away, and the child got well. I don't know whether you get my point. He wasn't trying to pray for her. He's like, please, get out. I am tired. And that's all the woman wanted. That touch. Now, why am I telling that story? It's because there was power available. Even though he wasn't trying to help out, but the presence of the power, it just had to move. I've heard stories before, many times, some of these men of God, the man gets tired, he's been ministering. Okay, he's tired. Because he's tired, let me lean on somebody. He touches the person flies away 5 feet. So, nobody should touch me, let me go and sit down by myself. What am I going to explain? Is the presence of power. When the Lord Jesus opened his mouth and spoke, he wasn't trying to kill this tree. You want to try, son of God. Son of God, they hungry. You don't know, say you supposed perform. All right. Peter, homie, I'm killing somebody today. He didn't do that. He just looked with disappointment. No one will eat of your fruit again. And because there was power present, the tree died. And that power, when they now asked him, how come that happened? He said, it's because of my faith, the faith of God. That is my whole, let me just spend the middle of the world, have faith in God. And actually, you wonder, in case you're wondering, where am I going with all of this? I want to explain to Christians that they should stop treating faith like something you pick up, use, and drop. I hope you're getting my point. It's very important. We have to stop treating faith like something we pick up when we need it, we use it, and keep it when we don't need it. Jesus was saying that my whole life is a life of faith. That is, for example, it still happened yesterday where I was still talking with some people, sugar is not good for you. And I asked the person talking, one of my sisters, I said, who said so? Yeah. One of the most important questions you must ask yourself in life, all right? One of the most important ones is this. Who told you were naked? You know, when Jesus came to Adam, where are you? A story. Then we heard you coming. Then we went under the grass. Why did you do all of that? Because we're naked. And the Lord asked him a simple question. Who told you were naked? That is, the source of your information is very crucial. That was the first thing the Lord wanted to know. Who told you were naked? You can't come to the conclusion that you are naked all by yourself. Somebody must have fed you that information. What does that tell me? I'll tell you. The Lord, you see, you must understand the way the Lord reasons. He wasn't saying that, how do you know you are naked? He asked a question. Who told you? So he now said, have you eaten of that fruit? Now that tells me something. After they ate of that fruit, they were now able to hear the voice of Satan telling them they were naked. Now listen to me. A voice had to tell them they were naked. It was not a conclusion they came to by themselves. That's why the Lord asked them, who told you were naked? In answer, the ability to hear that voice is only with somebody who has disobeyed God. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Listen, everyday life is talking to you. That's where I'm going to. Everyday life is talking to you. What you're able to hear, it depends on what you have been obeying. Sometimes I have, you know, I told you before, I used to have arguments with people about the country, future, destiny, your children, that kind of thing. And I realized that, how come they can't see what I'm seeing? How come they can't relate with what I'm relating with? How come? One of our brothers came the other day. He's been he lives in the U.S. He's been in the U.S. a very long time. So last time he came, he really moved around. And when we spoke later, and about 3 days ago, he said, I was really impressed. All of you guys back home, you are doing very well. Because he went from one place to the other, from Lagos to Enugu to Warri to, you know, visiting brethren. Even went as far as Sokoto. And he said, wow, you guys are doing very well. When you see people make decisions for their life sometimes, you know, you wonder that, are you blind? You are, you know, in your mind, are you blind? You see an adult, married man, children, a professional, has a good certificate, has a good job, you know. Yes, not living the big life yet, but you just look, this is future here. You can do something about it. And at the age of 40-something, he packs and goes to America to go and start again with people who are 20. Listen, except God calls you like he called Abraham, don't try that nonsense. You are going to be having struggles of 30-something-year-old men when you are 60. It's a wrong time to have certain kinds of struggles. Then I ask myself, why do they do it? It is simple. Somebody told them they were naked. When Jesus said, have the faith of God, or have faith in God, what was he saying? Take information only from him. That's what he was saying. That day when my sister said that, sugar is not good, I said, who said so? Why do you buy every nonsense that is sold to you? One day my sister told me, my mother was not feeling well, you know, she was feeling faint. So I called, they called me and told me. My mother is 76, I'm not sure if I age, 75, 76. I mean, how old is your mother-in-law? So I talked, it was my sister that called me, or my sister-in-law, because that day she was in my brother's place. So I was not asking her questions, like, okay, she traveled the day before. It was quite a long journey to get down to my brother's place. So I needed to, they called me, of course, because I'm a doctor and all of that. So I was asking questions, has she eating and all of that? So my sister just picked on me, said, she knows they eat too. She doesn't agree to eat. So I said, why not now? That, do I know that the latest that she doesn't eat bread? So I give her the phone. Why are you not eating bread? Nothing. My sister said there's something that she heard that they say wheat is bad for you. You know, when I react sometimes, my wife said, why do you react like this? I was so angry with her that day. I said, mommy, at the age of 75, bread did not kill you when you were 1. It didn't kill you when you were 2. At the age of 10, it didn't kill you. In your 20s, you were having children like me, and we came out healthy while you were eating bread. Now you're a grandmother. How long do you want to live, actually, that you want to stop eating bread? And my wife will tell you, my mother is one of the healthiest people she knows of that age. My mother has never called me for anything more than my nose is stuffy. She's generally very healthy. But then, you know these jokers that run around town? Dietary advice. When people are jobless and confused, they become diet advisors. There are so many of them. I see them all over town. I don't want to start on you now. Let me preach my message. But don't let them confuse you. Hallelujah diet. I will tell you about hallelujah diet. You've heard of hallelujah diet? This is how to do hallelujah diet. Carry your food and shout hallelujah. Father, thank you that I have this food to gazo. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's all. Any hallelujah more than that is confusion. I've seen people come and put the name of God behind a dietary mechanism. Don't eat this one in the morning. Hallelujah diet. It's a lie. I will say this, some of you won't like it. Derek Prince said there are doctrines of demons. For all of those things, to make it look food has nothing to do with righteousness. Let me stick to my message. You are the vex. You know? What I'm trying to emphasize is, who told you were naked? Then, but Jesus said, You can't live your life like that. That's what Jesus said. What is the basis of the food you eat? Jesus said, what did God say about it? That's what it means, how to have the faith of God. Nigeria is bad. I'm going to London. I'm going to America. I'm going to Australia. I'm going to South Africa. I'm going here. Jesus said, who told you? That's the meaning of have the faith of God or have faith in God. Don't have faith in the economy of any country. Don't have faith in job prospects in a distant land. Don't have faith in any profession. Don't have faith in anybody. Don't even have faith in a man of God. Have faith only in God. The reason why people make very silly decisions, they start jumping up and down like the devil. Where are you coming from? Running to and fro is because they don't have faith in God. Many people have faith in the business their neighbor is doing. Why? Because ever since that man started that business, he's bought a car, he started building a house. Meanwhile, you don't know what the man is really doing. What you can see is what you can see. So they have faith in their neighbor's business. But Jesus said, have faith in God. And when he was talking about it, he was trying to emphasize to the disciples, let your faith be an all-round, complete, total part of every part of your life. That's why I'm teaching this series. Like I said, where I'm going is that I see Christians treating faith like something you pick up and then you drop it when you don't need it. When you need it, you go and get it. What do I mean? If I'm sick, I go and take the faith and use it. But if I want to make a decision concerning who to marry, I don't need it. I have enough sense. If I have to change my jobs, all right, I don't need it. I'm going from job A to job 2. I won't take the faith. But then when I need breakthrough, I will go and get that faith. And that's why the faith is ineffective. That's what I'm talking about. When the Lord Jesus spoke to the tree, he wasn't trying to start a tree-killing ministry. He really didn't have much personal against that tree after that day. It was not going to affect his ministry. But then, because he always had his faith in God, when he opened his mouth and spoke against a tree, the tree died. Some of us want to open our mouth and bless our children, then curse every other person. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what I mean when I say you can't just take faith when you need it and then hang it. You'll be disobeying the words of the Lord Jesus here when he said, have faith in God. We'll get back to it. Let's just finish reading this portion. I was explaining some things there. Now, this is what I was trying to say to you earlier, that this is my thought about it. That if you look at it, say, have faith in God, truly I say to you, if you say to this mountain, and you don't doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. Therefore, I say in verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe. And I want to bring out something here. This is how I read it. He was saying to them like this, all things for which you pray and ask, if you can believe. That's what he was trying to explain to them. It was a condition. That look at the way it is. If you can bring yourself to the point of believing. And now what I'm convinced about what I'm saying is this. If you look at it, he didn't try and say, let me kill the tree. Now, hold me while I believe. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Please, are you following me? I'm not going to show you that he wasn't trying to be deliberate about his application of faith. The faith was just part of his life. And he was saying to them, if you can get to that point, then everything you pray and ask for, it shall be granted you. I said something the other day. I was sharing a testimony of one of our sisters here. She's not here now. Last Saturday, after we finished ministering here, she came to speak with me that during the seminar, I said that, and I can't remember saying it, but she was telling me what I said, that I just said, pray God is a father. You don't need to try. Okay, I think I know the context in which I must have been speaking. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that this one that Christians do these days of trying to bribe God is not necessary. Now, my children don't try to bribe me. When they need anything from me, they just ask. Why? It's a relationship thing. In fact, the other day, you know, my wife traveled, so I called my daughter and said, see you. I left her alone at home, so only her and I were at home. So I realized that there was no food to eat. There was food in the freezer, but you know, it's all frozen. You can't identify what is what. Since you're not the one that put it there, some of them are in, you know, store bags, bowls, and you can see the rice there, you can see the yam, but Sometimes I don't know whether I'd even peel yam again. You know, if you marry for 16 years, you spoil after a while. It's just the way life is. You spoil after some time. Why? I mean, so that day I just called my daughter. I said, please, eh? She was alone in the house. That she's a young girl. Of course, for those of you who don't know, she's, how old is the woman? 8 or so, all right, or 9. Uh-huh. So she wasn't going to cook by herself. So I said, what would you like to eat? So that we can buy it and bring it. He said, I'm not too hungry, but just bring chicken and chips. Nah, look, my girl, eh? I'm not about to go around this night looking for chicken and chips, driving all the way to the mall. Anyway, we just said it right there. So please, they say rice. I tell you, I'll bring you rice and plantain. Now, what I'm trying to say is that. So later on, she kept, I said, okay, we'll get the chicken and chips another day. So that day, I was wearing a pair of shoes that I brought for Akindu. He said, is that my chicken and chips? I said, no, this is chicken and shoes. You understand? Now, please get my point. She just takes it for granted. I'm going to get my chicken and chips. So I just told the mother, please prepare chicken and chips for your daughter since your husband promised he will get chicken and chips. Now, why am I telling the whole story? If you see, there was nothing about it. Just me. So, Daddy, where's my chicken and chips? It's not off. After all the offering I gave. How far? There was nothing about it. It's just that, Daddy, you must understand your responsibility. My duty is to ask. Your duty is to supply. Not so life be. Why fight people over their own rules in life? That was the kind of thing I was trying to say. That we approach God simply and ask. And our sister was not testifying that evening she got home, asked the Lord for something, and by the next day, the Lord did it. She now said something, which I'm telling the story. I said, if it was like this, I should have just asked last month. Why did I wait till today? I said, if you had asked last month, you would not have gotten it. She said, why? I said, because you see, faith was stirred up in your heart by the words that you heard. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. God was always there. Always. But the truth is that most times, in fact, our preaching these days as pastors weakens the faith of Christians more than it strengthens it. Anytime people start with, you know, God doesn't just answer you, you have to sow something, they have killed your faith. You hear what I said?
Yes.
Yeah, they are destroying your faith. I've heard preachers preach it. You don't just come to God and just think you will just ask and he will just do it. You must have put a seed. Let me just tell you, you know, I'm tired of being nice. Although I've not been nice for a long time anyway. It's a lie. It doesn't work like that. It kills your faith. It removes your confidence in the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. You now see people have problems. They start quoting that, was the tithe not complete? And if, for example, they earn 35,600, 200. Now, what's the tithe on that? 3,520. So they decided that, 20, let's just round the thing down, you know? So they decided to give God 3,500. If their motor jammed that week, devil will say, you see, you are owing the Lord 20 naira. That was, you know now. You've been there. Wipe out your faith because you are approaching God based on what you have done. That has to come to an end. I told her that, I said, see, why you could do that? Because God says, he that comes to him must believe. I'm going to emphasize something. Faith was stirred up because you heard words. I heard the testimony of one of my friends too, who lives abroad. And he lives in Canada. And he wanted his mother to come and visit. He said he had prayed, he had done everything. They heard me preach anatomy of prayer. And I said the same thing there. That just approach God with sincerity. He said he sat down on the stairs in his house and said, he just put his head against the wall and said, Lord, give my mother a visa. A few days later, the mother went for the visa interview and they gave it to her. He called me to tell me that in all this hakabagasha, all the demons that said my mother will not visit this year, he said, yeah, you come to an end. I told you, the more you shout, the less the faith you have. Listen. Those who have faith, all right? If you can carry something, you don't strain. The one you strain is because your muscle is too small. When you are doing like this, we know the one you can't carry. You've seen that advert of which milk is that? When one man, they strain. One boy just carry the thing like they sweep, drop him. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? What the Lord was saying, what the Lord Jesus was saying, is if you can believe, if faith is there in your heart, he wasn't trying to say, make sure you believe, oh, make sure you believe, oh. No. He was explaining to them that if you don't find results, it's because faith was not in your heart. The other day, I told you here, okay, I mentioned it last Saturday when I was teaching, that my wife and I once, we had some issues in the house and all of that. So we prayed and we didn't see the kind of result we wanted. So we just took a stroll. We're walking and we're talking about it. So my wife was like, why? You know, we're just asking questions. How do you declare A and B happens? I said, well, the word of God works. So we're having questions. At the end of the day, I believe the Holy Spirit began to give me words to speak. That old boy, if faith is there, it works. If it didn't work, it wasn't there. It's not how much you think you believe. It's whether it produces the results or it doesn't that will tell you whether you believe or you don't. I said something on Tuesday. That listen, if you're having to strain, just like I said just now, it is because the weight you are trying to carry is heavy. The weight in itself is not heavy, it's not light. It depends on who's carrying it. I hope you get my point. The weight, look at a whole truckload of cement. You know, that thing is very heavy. Wait till it gets stuck. You see another one, just pull it as if it's not there. Weight is not absolute. Is it big or small? It depends on who is trying to push it. If a child wants to carry a 50 kg bag of rice, he knows his life has come to an end. Are you getting my point? If an average young woman wants to carry it, she says, no, I can't. But these boys will load cement every day. Toss it like this, put the second, they will balance, put the second one. And the guy goes and tosses it over, and then goes and does it again. Why? He has the strength. The amount of strain, okay, we put in before we get results spiritually is a reflection of the amount of faith we don't have. In all honesty, is all we shout at demons is a sign that you don't have faith to cast them out. Most of the conversations Jesus had with demons is the one that knows what he's saying. People around don't even know what's going on. Like I told you before, when it was the only time he was raising his voice to get results, he warned ahead of time that I'm raising the voice so that you people can hear. That was when he worked the hardest miracle in the whole Bible. That was the hardest thing to do for any human being that ever lived. And that was to raise Lazarus from the dead. Because Lazarus was not a man who died in the morning and you raised in the evening. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, I had to do this to convince you people that you're not dealing with a normal average person. So when he was doing it at that time, he said, I'm only talking this loud because I want you to know. Otherwise, I would have raised Lazarus with a whistle. What am I saying? Because faith in him was strong, he needed only to exert little energy to get results. Please follow what I'm going to explain. Like I said earlier, the thing I'm going for in this series of teachings that I'm beginning today is to help Christians plug the leak to faith. And the major leak I have found out is that they compartmentalize faith in their lives. So they use it when they like it, and they don't use it when they don't feel they need it or when they don't like the results of it. But the truth is that it hinders the ability of faith in the area that they need it. What do I mean? That faith, the way God has designed it, is a total package. Let me explain this. There are choices you will make as a single man concerning who you will marry or you won't marry, which will either give you strength to be able to believe God for finances later in life, or you will never be rich no matter how you try. I'm serious about that. There is a way you will look at people. That is, people are talking to you and you maybe let me give practical, and you look at them that these are not important people. You disobey the word of God, you refuse to treat everybody with respect, and then you go to work, you start blessing your business. And God says, you see, you don't understand. You have no faith. If you had faith, you would not have been a respecter of men. I don't know whether you get my point. That your faith will have reflected when you have related with human beings. That this one, that you are a respecter of men. When you see a man that's well dressed, is yes, sir. When he's dressed roughly, come on, leave my front. Then you now turn around later, you lay hands on the sick. God, you don't understand. The power to pray for the sick disappeared when you talk wrongly to that man 3 days ago. Why? Faith is total. Faith is total. You either take it in its total entirety, or you just forget it and go and be hustling like an average unbeliever. It is not as if I will have faith for healing. I will be strong there. And then I will neglect faith when it comes to relationships. I will neglect faith when it comes to forgiveness. I will neglect faith when it comes to obeying the call of God for my life. Then I suddenly expect that faith will be strong when it comes to the place of healing. No, it does not work like that. And that was why Jesus told us, have faith in God. What am I bringing out from that have faith in God thing today? Oh, the Lord is saying, listen, make up your mind. How do you want to live your life? Where do you get information from? Have faith in God means my source of information is the word of God. Whatever God says is first, is primary, is above every other thing. Let me quickly explain another thing. And I want to just talk about this lifestyle of faith. Faith must be a lifestyle. And I want to use a small thing to give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Have you ever gotten this text message? Forward this to 10 people, and within 5 days, money will come to you. Somebody said all the time. Sometimes it comes like this. Oh, let me just quickly tell you one I got recently. It will make you laugh. They said this is based on Chinese Wang Fu or something like that. That February this year, this type of February only occurs once in 823 years. This February has 4 Mondays, 4 Tuesdays, 4 Wednesdays, 4 Thursdays, 4 Saturdays, 4 Fridays, 4 Saturdays, and 4 Sundays. This is it's called money bags. You heard it, you saw it. And that this will occur only once in 800 and something years. So forward this within the next 10 minutes or 11 minutes to 20 people or whatever, and money will arrive in 4 days. The person who sent it to me, I replied him. I said, my God, Happy New Year, sir. I said, I happen to know that every year, February, he has 4 Sundays, 4 Mondays, 4 Tuesdays, 4 Wednesdays, 4 Thursdays, 4 Fridays, and 4 Saturdays. It's 28 days. They have to share it equally. Many of you didn't think about it until now. I said, except for leap years. And in the leap years, is 29. And one of those days must have an extra one, 5 days. I said, this is the interesting part, sir. This year happened to be a leap year, and Monday has 5. I said, this year happens to be a leap year, and Monday this year is 5. As I said, you see, it's all a fat lie. It's somebody senior to me. I said, sir, it's all a fat lie. Happy New Year again. So he replied me, say, Banky, not true, in my mind, okay? Why won't it be true? There's one, I wish I could just reach it now, but let me just quickly tell you something about it. They call it, it's something with the Pope. That this Pope is, I can't remember now, that is the, no, I shouldn't waste your time looking for it. But they said the Pope, as an example, is a, which Pope is he? Which number is he? 260-something Pope, something like that. And that he went to America on the 260-something day of the year. And that if you check this, check that. So, and people were forwarding it. What does that tell you? The spirit of Antichrist, the cataclysm of the atomic bomb, all kind of things. Forward to 10 people, to 1 people so they can pray. So somebody forwarded to our brethren. I'm an interesting person. So I sat down and brought a calendar. and counted from January to the day the Pope went to America. And that was not even the number of days. If they say it was 263rd day, it was like 252nd day. It was not. But people were forwarding it up and down. So I said, brethren, why don't you even just check facts? You've heard all of this, Vijay Sandra, the head of WhatsApp. Recently, we were sold to Facebook. Now, WhatsApp server is being, of course, let's not talk about the ignorance of human beings, which is very, very frightening. They'll say this, our server is being overloaded. So what you will do is send to 20 people on your WhatsApp list. I said, a man who said his server is being overloaded, said, please, help me load this some more. Does it make sense? But human beings are so ignorant of technology, they start for say, otherwise your logo will turn yellow. Think, don't let somebody make a merchandise of your soul. I'm going somewhere. You see where I'm going in a moment. People now say, this is where I'm going. This is the logic of human beings. It doesn't cost anything. It's just a few clicks, just in case. Now, that's where I'm going. My whole message is not about whether you forward messages or you don't forward messages. I want you to know that everything you do in life makes a spiritual statement. That's where I'm going. People say it doesn't cost anything. After all, it's free. It's free forwarding. WhatsApp is free. Even when we're using SMS for it, maybe 10 SMS messages is just 40 naira. 4 naira per message. It's something small to avert something great that might be evil. Or something small for the potential of winning something great. So people say it doesn't cost anything. It's little to lose, much to gain. You've heard that before. Of course, you can be sure of one thing. Yours sincerely, I have never forwarded anything in my life. I learned this as a university student. When we learned the word of faith, the word of faith messages we heard made sure we never gave into the spirit of fear. Those days, it was letters. It was letters, chain, what they call chain letters. When you get this letter, mail to 10 people, then you will get this. This man did not mail it. He died within a week. Remember those things? We were learning the word of faith. So once you put a threat, we say, Lila, in the name of Jesus, I am above alone and not beneath. Greater is he that is in me than he. That was what we learned. So we needed to use our faith, not to fall for it. That was when I laid my foundation. I have never forwarded anything in my life that has a threat attached or has a promised reward. I've never forwarded one. Not because I'm strong in myself, but because as young students, we're taught faith. And this is what I'm talking about. People say there's little to lose, much to gain. Just send it just in case. There was a time some people said they died and went to hellfire. Please go and tell them. They will die later and go to hellfire later. Because that one, they didn't die and didn't go to any hellfire. They are lying in the name of the Lord. And then God will have to send somebody to hellfire eventually. But they came back and said that when they got to hellfire, they saw women with earrings, artificial, add-on to their hair, and stuff like that. So you saw people all over town. Lipsticks vanished. Earrings disappeared. Hair went back to natural. Sorry for the women selling those things in the market. Business was bad that season. Why am I talking about it? I'm talking about total faith. Why am I talking about it? People said, just remove it just in case. That's where I'm going. Is that just in case I'm trying to address? Is it little to lose, much to gain I'm trying to address? The fact is that you are not losing little. You are losing much. That's what I want to emphasize. Anytime you forward something because of the fear of the possible consequence when I don't, you have not lost little, my brother. You have not lost little, my sister. You have lost a lot. You have given into the spirit of fear. You have spoken in the realm of the spirit that you are not sure of the protection that you have in Christ. You have secretly, like Job said, lifted your hand to the moon in worship. You don't realize it. Because somebody said to you, General Chong Fuen did not forward it. He died within a week. This person did not forward it. His house collapsed. This one forwarded it and got money. Once you agree and forward, listen, my brethren, you have tapped into a spirit of fear. You have weakened your faith. Tomorrow you say, God, give me money. He can't. Why? There is no faith in your heart. Where did it go? It went away when you were forwarding stupid messages. That's why I'm talking about total faith. You cannot relate with the economy of the nation by fear and then expect to get healed by faith. You're kidding. It is that compartmentalization of faith I'm fighting today in this series. To let people know, this is where they lose faith. Once I saw a young man. Oh boy, how far with the girl you told me you wanted to marry? Ah, Banky, see, this was what happened. By the time he finished telling me the reason why I called off the marriage arrangement, my heart was sad. My wife said, why didn't you talk to him? I said, he had made up his mind before he talked to me. You must understand that you are not teacher to everybody. Yes, you must understand. There are people that if you talk, it's an argument. Usually, I quickly stop discussion on serious matters with such people. I know people I can instruct with the word of God. So I told my wife, this is why I really can't talk to him. It was sad. These days, I try to help people more than before, but sometimes you just know when you can't, it's a no-go area. I said, anyway, from the things he has told me, I think the girl is better off without him. That from what he said, I think the girl is better off without him because the girl obviously needs a man of faith to be her husband because from what he's saying, she might go through certain challenges later in life and you need a man of faith to stand with you at such time. So let's forget it. He had forgotten it anyway. But now notice something later. His life wasn't going on very well. Of course, he married later as children and all of that. But I noticed that in other areas, his life wasn't moving well. And something kept on coming back to my mind. Now, you can argue this, but please get my concept. I'm not going to use it to explain a spiritual principle. I just thought to myself, if this young man had taken that challenge to God in prayer and said, God, because of your word, because of the love I have for you, I will go ahead with this marriage, even though these are the risks we may face. I was just convinced God would have settled him in every other area. He would have. Listen, everything you do in life has consequences. And I'm talking about faith. Some choices you make, it takes away faith for long life from you. You don't know it. Because faith is total. It's not desire that gets you things with God. It's faith. You can see it there. Jesus came to his hometown and he wanted to help them. The Bible said because of their unbelief, he couldn't help. And I'm trying to emphasize that many people cultivate and nurture and make unbelief grow. But they want to cut that area away from that area in which they are growing their unbelief. They want to cut it away from the area in which they want positive results in their lives. But it does not work. That's why I say to you, before you make any decision in life, ask yourself, who told me? You have to ask yourself, who told you? How did I know this? Why am I? If it's like medical people say this, the economy people say this, my society says this, and that is the basis upon which you are deciding. What you are doing is that you are killing faith in other areas. That's what I'm going to explain. You're taking faith in other areas and destroying it. Remember what I said? Faith is not, I have just made up my mind. I'm believing God. Many of the times you are copying somebody who you thought that was how he believed God. Many times people take actions. Listen to this. It appears like faith. It is not faith. It doesn't get results. And people are saying faith doesn't work. I'll give you an example. God told the people of Israel, go in. You know the story in Kadesh Barnea, Numbers 13, Numbers 14. Go in and possess the land. They said, let's go and spy it out and map it out. God said, no problem. Go ahead and do that. Then they came back. 10 spies said, the land is bad. The land is very good, but we can't go in. Why? The inhabitants are terrible. Joshua and Caleb said, if the Lord is with us, we can go in. Then, you know the rest of the story. Then God now came, the presence of God came down, and the Lord was angry, And Moses began to explain to them what God has said. In apparent repentance, now listen to this, listen to this. In apparent repentance, they got up and said, let us go in now. Moses said, the plan has changed. You are not going in. You are going to stay in the wilderness. You are going to be here for 40 years until the last of the men of war will have perished. They said, no. Shebi, God was angry because we did not go in. Now we are going to go in. You know what? They went in and they were slaughtered. And Moses said to them, listen, I told you. Now, why am I telling that story? It is that God was saying to them, listen, there is no faith in your heart. There's just obuju on your face. There is right now no faith in your heart. It's obuju on your face. Many times people do things because they are copying people who they thought acted in faith. Those Israelites at that time, they wanted to re-impress God. You know, they wanted to give God a new impression of themselves. There was no faith in their heart at all. The word of God had not yielded, it was not mixed with faith in their hearts. You know, the other day I was listening to some men of God preach. Different people said the same thing at different times, but I'm just combining what Derek Prince and David Paulson and I think somebody has said. And he said many missionaries that came to Africa, I'm just summarizing the word. None of them used those words. I'm deducing it from the things they said. That many missionaries that came to Africa, they did not come because they loved God. They did not come because they loved the gospel. They came because they had to find something to do with their lives. They were just adventurers. I don't know whether I get my point. They had this adventurous spirit. And since they were Christians, they decided to go into the adventure of Christianity, which is missionary work. And that was why Derek Prince said, now, I want to just, Derek Prince didn't say, he didn't link it, but there was something else he said. I'm tying it, okay? Derek Prince said then, when he was in Kenya, he would see that the way the missionaries used to behave, if an African, a local, comes to their house for water, they will give him water because they are good Christians. Except that they will give him the water through the window. I don't know whether you got that. They will not let the fellow into their home. He's unclean. They were superior. I'm a superior white man. You're an inferior black man. You can't come into my house. So they will give him water. They are being kind. One of my friends is in the U.S. One day he asked me, he said, Banky, do you think I'm racist? Because when he talks sometimes, you know he's angry. He's angry with the Mexican. He's angry with the white man. You know, he's angry with everybody. So one day he said, Banky, I think I'm racist. Anytime you hear that the white people are giving money to a cause in Africa, it irritates him. He said they don't love the people. They are trying to pacify their conscience. That it makes them feel superior, as far as he's concerned, when they hand down something to the poor African nation. So the thing gets on his nerves. And sometimes, now please, I'm not trying to criticize people, I'm trying to bring an issue here. Many times people do things that you think is faith. Derek Prince said then, this was a white man himself talking, and he was saying that this was so wrong. He will go to the huts of the locals. He will sit down on the floor and eat their food. He will allow them into his home and his wife. He even adopted one African girl, his youngest daughter. He adopted an African girl. Listen, that was just his life. And he got more results in a few years than all of them for many years before that. Why? Because he didn't see the people as inferior. He saw them as people that God could redeem. I hope you're getting my point. And that allowed faith to rise up in his heart to work miracles in their lives. He told a story when he was in North Africa as a soldier during the Second World War. One day, there was this African, I think a Somali man. He said, let me go and teach you how to ride a donkey. So he and the fellow became friends. The guy was a Muslim. So they became friends. He would tell the guy, he took Derek Prince out to go and teach him how to ride a donkey. Then, now listen to this though. Along the line, he said, I think they will bring food along. So he brought something, the man brought something. He had to eat what that man brought as a sign of we are friends. What water were they going to drink? Got to a point. The guy said, sir, I know you can't drink this water. So from a pool. The reverend said, why not? He said, you're a white man. He said, no, doesn't matter. He said, he just taught himself, I shall drink deadly things and they will not hurt me. So he told the man, no problem, I will pray over it. I will drink it. So he drank it, and the man was looking at you, an unusual white man. Then one day, he noticed that the guy had a sore on his leg, and the guy said the sore had been there for a long time. So he told him, do you mind if I prayed for you? The fellow said, why not? So he prayed a gentle prayer for the man. The man, a few days later, came back. The sword that had been there for years was completely healed. By the time he left, that fellow was a Christian. I'm going to show you, when I talk about faith being all around, there were missionaries that stayed there, and they were wondering why they were not getting results. And God is saying, in effect, how can you get results? You don't seem to get it. Your whole faith has disappeared. You think you have faith because you've left your country and you are here. You think you have faith because you're in the jungle, but your faith disappeared when you could not recognize that God is inside these people and they are equal with me, even though they may not be technologically advanced, they may not be civilized the way human beings talk about it. As long as you create that divide between you and them, pray from now to tomorrow, my power won't come down. Why? You don't have faith. That's my message. Our faith must be what? Total. Let's read what God said about Joshua and Caleb. Something we have read many times before, but which we applied in a different way. Let's read from that Numbers 13 and 14. It's in many places there. You find in Numbers chapter 14. You find in Numbers chapter 32 that God was talking about when these people came back. The Lord said that, listen, none of these people, in Numbers 14, shall see the land which I swore to their fathers. He said, nor shall any of those who have spawned me see it. That's verse 23. He said, but my servant Caleb, he will see it. Why? Because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully. He said, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Why did I read that? Because it said, Caleb followed me fully. Let's read it again in chapter 32, when Moses was passing a comment on this matter. Moses said it like this. He was telling them, look, the Lord's anger burned in that day, that when these things happened in chapter 12, chapter 13 and chapter 14. And he swore, I'm reading verse 10 now, and he swore, saying, none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and upward, shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. For they have followed the Lord fully. I won't read it again, but you also find that reference when Joshua was referring to it in chapter 4. Caleb himself was referring to it, asking Joshua to let him go ahead and take the land, what used to be the land of the giants. And he went there to go and take that land, even though it was a man that was 85. So 45 years ago, my strength was the same as I'm experiencing it today, for going out and for war. He said, why was it like that? He said, because I followed the Lord my God fully. That is, my strength was preserved because I followed him fully. For 45 years, God put the strength of Caleb at the particular point. Men were getting tired. Caleb was not getting tired. At the age of 85, he led a charge against giants. The place became Hebron. He named it Hebron. Before that, and the Bible said that place was called Kiriath Arba. Because Abba was the greatest of the Anakim. His descendants lived there. But a man who followed God fully, without deliberately believing God for strength. You must understand what I'm explaining here. Is I told you, those who are exercising faith, those who are, their faith is working, they don't do too much of, are you getting my point, to get something. Because the faith is there. If they just say, why am I feeling tired today? That's not the plan of God. Just that small word cures them, brings strength back into their system. He said, how did I get to that particular point? Because I followed God fully. I've explained that. Let me just really run over it. I like to teach it again and again because Christians are not often, if I'm the only preacher I've heard say it, so let me say it enough so that many people will hear it. There are two sides to it. Today I'm introducing the second side of what it means to follow God fully. The first side is the one I've talked here many times. And that's to explain the fact that the Word of God has many aspects. And I decode that, I deciphered that from analyzing the book of Psalms, chapter 119. You hear him talk about thy word, and that's the promises of God. Sanctify, like he tell you, revive me according to thy word. All right? My soul cleaves to the dust. You know, make me live according to your word. That is, he's asking God to fulfill his promise in his life. So when you see that word, thy word, in that Psalm 119, he was talking about the promises of God. That's the first aspect of God's word. Then the second aspect of God's word is what we call the precepts. The precepts are the principles. They are the way by which God does things. You just understand that this is, there are things people tell me and say, no. Like I told you, some people say they dreamt, and when they went to hellfire, they saw women that have hair attachments and all of that. And they said, that's why God sent them here. And they, when they got there, they saw only men in heaven. That the women couldn't come to heaven. Why? Because the men don't wear attachments. They commit adultery, but God overlooks. What's adultery? Just between friends. You know, that's a big deal. They can come to heaven while they are committing adultery. They can steal and come to heaven. They can murder and come to heaven. They can deny and curse God and come to heaven. As long as they don't wear hair extensions. And the women said they went to heaven and saw that. I said, the heaven you went must be the one that people are bumping themselves to go to. You understand my point? 70 virgins and a lot of alcohol. Not the one that's in the Bible. Because the heaven of God, that's not the premise upon which people go there. How do I know that? It's called the precepts of God. We just read the scriptures. So whether people say that, I should watch the video. I say, I don't watch horror movies. I mean, I don't have to watch an X-rated movie just to know it, so that I can know it's bad or it's good. From what you have told me, by their fruit, you shall know them. The fruit I have seen, they didn't go anywhere. How do I know it's called the precepts of God? We just understand the way God reasons. Some of these things we hear these days. Somebody said, God said to me, 500 people today will give their first salary of this year and there will be breakthrough for them after. I start laughing. God never says such thing to 500 people. I say, look, it's so hard to make the merchandise of the souls of some of us. Why? He just from reading the Bible said, God, no, they talk like that. Because they give me money and I will bless your children. I say, God, when did you go broke? You know, sometimes when I watch TV, I just get tired. But you know, let me not go there. Apostle, we shouldn't go there. But we have to keep saying these things so as to help Christians. Say, if you give God the first small salary, the rest will be holy. If the first is holy, the rest are holy. Tell the pastor, in my pocket is holy. Don't worry about it. Anywhere my money is, it is holy. It can become holy in your hand. Man of God, if you need money, say it openly. Say, my brethren, the church needs money. Who will give? Don't use the word of God to harass our souls. It's ungodly. If you don't tithe, your life will be tight. It's not in the scriptures. I never saw it anywhere. Paul read the Bible, Paul wrote, Jesus spoke, John wrote his own, James, Peter. They didn't say it. Then you just manufactured and I should believe it. I'm talking about the precepts of God. It's just by reading the scriptures, you just know that the Lord does not behave like this. There are commandments. There are things that are set clearly. And I'm not talking about 10 commandments. There are so many more commandments. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. It's a commandment. Yes. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't have any anxiety about anything. It's a direct instruction of God. It is a direct instruction of God. We obey that one also. He said, love your enemies. It's a word of God. Never pray for them to die. You are a sinner if you pray like that. All my enemies this year, you will die, die, die. Anybody praying like that is disobeying God directly, because the first ever command, the instruction for prayer that Jesus gave was, pray for your enemies. They are direct commandments. Then there are ordinances. I've given three. Okay, then before I go to ordinance, there are testimonies. What are testimonies? There are things that for you, God says, don't do. Other people may do it, but you, I don't want you to do it. It's not unlawful. It's just that for you, you're not going to do that. Many times Christians, especially pastors, preachers have made a law out of their own personal testimonies. Sometimes God is trying to help you because of the weakness of your faith in an area. So he says, don't do this. He knows you can't handle it. And I say, no, in this church, there was a time I heard the pastor in Winner say, you know, in this church we don't drink coke. I said, Jesus Christ. How can you say that? I remember Bishop Oyedepo saying that he stopped drinking coke because he found out that he was drinking too much of it. He said then every time he's thirsty, he gets a bottle of coke. Every time he's thirsty, he had the bottle of coke in his hand. He said one day he looked at himself and said, what's all of this? Why can't I drink water? He said, just wanted to prove that coke shall not have dominion over me. So he dropped it and said, I'm not drinking again. I heard the pastor later say, you know, in this church we don't drink coke. That's what I call testimonies. Testimonies are personalized commandments, manufactured only for you, customized commandments. And then there are ordinances. Ordinances are things that God says, they are physical things you do as a sign of a spiritual thing. For example, the Lord's Supper. Do this, he said, in remembrance of me. Gathering together with Christians, those physical things, they are ordinances. All of these things are different aspects of the word of God. And then Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says that they followed God fully. This is my application of it. For you to be a true follower of the word of God, you must follow every aspect. The very common imbalance you find in Christianity is people often know the promises, but they don't know the precepts. This year is my year of breakthrough. God said, I will be the head and I will not be the tail. I will be above alone, I will not be beneath. It shall be well with me. I will be fruitful, I will multiply. They say all of those things, and those are true promises. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. Those are true promises. Then you follow the man to work. He doesn't understand the precepts of God at all. He lives like the average unbeliever around. Then when trouble comes, say, I reject it. You do not have the faith to reject it if you do not have the faith to obey the precepts. Like I say all the time, grace. Grace is not, God didn't give grace so that he will never have to punish sin. God gave grace so that he will not have to. I don't know whether you saw the way I twisted it there. What it means is that there will be no sin to punish if there's grace. Grace says that you can resist. Grace is the power to walk above. Grace is the power to say no. Everybody may do it, but I'm not doing. You won't survive in the country. Grace says, whether I survive or die is irrelevant. I will not disobey my God. Grace makes Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at different times in their trials, either they are going to the lion's den or facing the fiery furnace, grace makes them stand and say, I won't bow. Grace does not mean I do any nonsense. And God will say, don't worry, he's covered by my grace. That is the rubbish grace. Grace says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Therefore, making people able to resist the sin in the society. That is the amount of power I have to say no to corruption. An average American doesn't have it. Because he doesn't have that amount of corruption around him. I'm talking about financial corruption. That's what grace means. Grace means I take that grace. And people say, how did you manage? That man is a powerful man. You were able to stand up to him and say no, even though he threatened you. Say, my brother, it's grace, so. It's not that I'm doing every iniquity in the world. Say, God will soon punish. Say, no, we're under the dispensation of grace. Don't believe the lie that people tell you that your spirit is pure. It's only your flesh that is sinning. There are churches that teach it. It's my flesh that's committing adultery. My spirit is at home. You know, I told people that God will have to punish people one day. He can't take this insult. Just look God. They mock God. Christians, that's where they make the mistake. They hold on to promises. They don't walk by the precepts. They disobey express commandments because it is, you know, it's Nigeria, you know, the society. That is one way of looking at following God fully, by looking at the different aspects of the Word of God. We take everything together, especially the precepts. That's where Christians often miss it. There is a way we do business as Christians, and it's very different from the way the world does it. Our object, our target, what we are going for is different. I said to you many times here that a Christian businessman, his first thing is not about profit. The first thing is about a good name. I go out every day to establish integrity, righteousness. My yes is yes. My no is no. If I tell you this is going to cost you 15,000 naira, the Bible says, I swear to my heart, I don't change. Once you give me a deposit, I find out later it's going to cost me 18. That is, I'm not only not making a profit, I am making a loss. The Bible says I'm not allowed to renegotiate. That's Christianity. He said he swears to his heart and does not change. Once you sign, it's an agreement. You can't renegotiate. That's Christianity. The other day, my wife had a Christian dose of it. She sold something to somebody. No, a suit. Sold a suit that she bought, I think, for like 25,000. That is, before transporting and everything. Sold it for 15. Because she did not know. She made a mistake. The person said, oh, this one is fine. Like, you can have that one. It was later on she suddenly realized that, gosh! And, you know, the person had taken it. Two, not one. Two. When she told me, she felt bad. She had called one of the people when she now told me. I said, the Bible says, you swear to your heart, you don't change. She called them back and said, forget it, my mistake, not yours. He said, what if they want? I said, you are not allowed to even want them to do anything. It's your loss. It's like that in the scriptures. You swear to your heart, you don't change. This guy is scratching head. Look at the scratching. See the scratching of head. Omo. Listen, Christianity is a call to a higher level of righteousness. I told you the story before. When I heard that one, I said, even me with all the preaching, I said, what? A man flat out defrauded his brother, both of them Christians. R.J. Lutono. He and his brother were doing business. He said, the business is not going well because you took your relatives and put them on staff. They are contractors. So he pulled his relatives and put them on another job he has somewhere else. Since my business partner doesn't like you people, please leave here. He's saying that it's because my relatives are on the job, that's why it's not going well. He pulled them out, they had other people to replace. They continued doing the work. They managed to break even, they didn't make any money. But the other one that he sent the relatives to go and run, that one made money. And this man walked up to him and said, I hear you made money on the other contract. Well, since we're in partnership at that time, we have to share the profit. The guy said, listen, what kind of partnership are we talking about? Our partnership was on this. He said, no, you removed our staff and took our staff somewhere else. The guy said, Jesus is my Lord. You said they are the reasons why we are not making progress. He said, I don't care. I'm going to sue. So Arjun Lutono said, sue. I'll see you in court. As he turned around, God said, give him the money. He had it inside him. He knew he was the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when such things happen to you, get on your knees and say, God, I want to confess my sin. Say, what's my sin? My sin is that I won't give him. Now that I have confessed it, remove it out of my heart. God will now, he will remove, I won't give him out of your heart. You will now get up and find grace to give him. He found grace to give that man. He went to him and said, okay. And I know you could have lied about how much he made. But the Holy Spirit didn't even allow him to lie about that. He must know how much you made. Okay, we made $50,000. Give him a check for 25. Listen, you will see it as we go on. Job, one of the scriptures I want to start with. I said, many people who think they understand faith, when I read that scripture, they will be afraid. Job looked at his wife and said, shall we take good from the hand of God and not take calamity? Christianity does not only give to you, he takes from you. The faith must be total. God looked at him and said, give him the money. And he wrote a check and gave that man, and the idiot went and collected it. There are monies you should not collect. Because in 2 years, he was wiped out of business permanently. Some monies are toxic. They are toxic. They ruin your life. Listen to me. When we are talking about following God, so we are explaining, it's a full thing. We take it. Job said, can we take good from his hand? Then when he brings calamity, we say, this is not our faith. That's why I told you, if you are getting married, don't let anybody give you that Pentecostal vow. It is of Satan. For richer. For riches, for richness. In health and in healthier. It's not God. They think, no, we are speaking by faith. We cannot declare what is wrong. I rant nonsense. Paul said, I learned to abound and I learned how to abase. It's an all-round faith. God does not only give you visa to America. He sends you to Botswana. He sends you to Congo. And for goodness sakes, you are going to Somalia. You think prayer only gives you visa to North America? You will wake up one day, God will say, resign. Greet everybody, bye-bye. And you're feeling happy. The Lord is moving us. God says, yes, I'm moving you forward to the next phase of your life. Where are we going to? Mogadishu. You will look like God. Did you pronounce it correctly? I don't like Mogadishu. Do you like Bujumbura? Choose one. Oh, what about New York? Oh, the Lord is good. Look, I'm just going to emphasize, look, we take everything from the Lord. That's a total faith. We can't compartmentalize it. The God that's going to prosper you financially, the same one that will handle your marital life for you. You can't use faith to believe God for finances. And when God says, submit to your husband, you don't have the faith for that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't get to the place where it hurts you. And you start rationalizing away the word of God. And you want to pray and have faith for breakthrough. That young man then, when he did what he did, I shook my head. I said, he doesn't get it. You know, there are... You know, God told Peter, he said, if I call something clean, don't open your mouth and call it unclean. And that's what he did. He called the young woman unclean. And God said, fine, if that's the way you want it. Listen, you can't compartmentalize life. You have faith to take, but you don't have faith to lay down. Jesus said, no one takes my life from you, from me. I lay it down of myself. He said, I have power to lay it down and have power to take it up again. The two of them go together. Many of us want power to take it up. We don't have power to lay it, don't want power to lay it down. Paul said, I've learned to abound and I've learned to abase. That is what gave the man command of life. That was why Jesus could look at a storm and tell the storm, are you out of your mind? And the storm say, I'm sorry, sir. The Bible, that peace be still was not shout. Doesn't have time to shout to calm a storm. It was like, like you look at the storm, what's your problem? Storm say, sorry. We thought you were sleeping. Just want to scare the boys small. Listen. That was what gave him, you understand, that kind of power came from the fact that he first received the power to lay things down. That's what I'm trying to explain. Some people will look at it and say, my cousins in America, they are doing far. Your faith will say, don't go anywhere. Say, means God will prosper me in this land. God say, well, I will if I want to, but let's leave that one now. Right now, you are not going anywhere. My book we're already working on it. Cover, in fact, if you check my DP over the next few days, you'll see it. I'm putting the cover up as my DP. Don't quit the army. And that's what I taught in Don't Quit the Army. In Don't Quit the Army, didn't talk about who God wants to bless somebody. Who's God blessing? That's what we're talking about. It's for goodness sake, no true soldier, the Bible says, entangles himself with the things of this life. That is, being a true soldier of Christ, sometimes it endures pure hardship. No promises attached, just hardship. I went for a meeting yesterday with my brethren, my local vesco. And my vice president, Momian, was saying something. She said, do we still see such things? That a man like our brother Courage got up one day and said, God called him. Where? To Sokoto. And he took a bag. And that was all. And that was 17 years ago. And he's still there. She said, why don't we see such things again? Now the sign of being a pastor is last Christmas I got 5 cars. That is not a sign of apostleship. Oh, telling me today that all of them, in fact, when I was hearing some G's, you just look. He said, look at them. Boys and girls you trained yesterday, they expect you to kneel down now to talk to them. Why? They gave them title, pastor. Jesus said, you are all brethren. You think it's a sign that you're a big pastor now, like your house is big, your car is big? That is not a sign of an apostle. It is not a sign that you are called. If you bow to Satan, you get the whole world. It's not a sign of anything. People who bow to Satan, they get the whole world. It's what they lose afterwards, another discussion. Let's go home. What have I preached today? Faith is total. What did I say?
Faith is total.
Faith is what?
Total.
Faith is what?
Total.
Faith is what?
Total.
Total. Every aspect of life. That is what makes our faith work strong. Remember, faith is not determination. It's a spiritual substance that's inside your soul. It is your duty to nurture it. Don't let it leak away because you want to walk in unbelief somewhere. Please go and get a series, The Fight Against Unbelief. We preached, I think, last year or the year before. But it's available there. It's MP3. It's also on the internet. You can download it easily for free. The Fight Against Unbelief. Because all the promises of God, listen to this. I'll continue on that from that point next time. If God gives a promise, it's activated by faith. It's activated by faith. There are times God wants to bless. If the faith is not there, he can't bless. It can't bless. But I'm emphasizing that the faith is not determination to get. The faith is a spiritual substance that if it's inside the soul, if it's inside the heart of a child of God, it just gets its results easily. So if the results are not flowing, ask yourself, is faith there? It's not I close my eyes and I grit my teeth and I grind my teeth like this. I refuse to doubt. I will not doubt. Faith and Ogboju are two different things. For those who are wondering what Ogboju is, bold face. For those who don't know the meaning of bold face, is strong head. For those who don't know what strong head, give me another word. Call these ones are Nigerian words. It's not gra-gra. That's still very, it's more Nigerian than before. I want an international word. It's not stubbornness, thank you. It's not strong will. No, that's not what faith is. Faith is so difficult to describe, you hardly find it described in the Bible. Just get used to the expression. All the times you see faith talked about in the Bible, it's talking about the application. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We'll talk about it later. Faith being a substance of things means that if a man has hope, It is because he has faith. Let me quickly define that. I close with it. When we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, it does not mean when I have a hope, I look for faith to add to it. That's a wrong reading of that thing. Faith, hope is a firm expectation. If I have a firm expectation, it is because faith has caused me to trust in the word of God. And it has given me a new expectation in life. It's a substance in our soul, which we must be careful that we don't let it leak away. Because we want to compartmentalize life. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you're blessed today. Yes, let's bow down our heads and say, Lord, thank you. Can we just put up our hands and say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you for setting me free. Yeah, very important. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free. I've been set free from the law. And I've been set free from sin. I have been set free to serve you. I have been set free to walk in righteousness. I have been set free from the lust of the flesh. I have been set free from the lust of the eyes. And I have been set free from the pride of life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have been set free from the fear of tomorrow. I have been set free from the fear of poverty. I have been set free from the fear of death. I have been set free from the fear of death. Say, Satan has no dominion over me. And sin has no dominion over me. I am above all the agents of darkness. I am above the devil because I'm seated with Christ. Thank you because I've been set free. Father God, I bless your people with your blessing. And I declare upon everybody present here that the Lord bless you. Amen. The Lord keep you. Amen. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Amen. And be gracious unto you. Amen. The Lord will bless you in your going out. Amen. He will bless you in your coming in. Amen. He will bless your basket. Amen. He will bless your storehouse. Amen. He will bless the work of your hands. Amen. Everything that you do is blessed. Amen. God, this week, God will open doors that were closed before for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will not need to chase the favor of any man. Amen. God will send favor to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God will send favor to you. Amen. He will send help to you. Amen. Help will come from above. Amen. Help will come from places you did not know they knew your name. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Archbishop Bidayosa used to say, the reason why people get small favors is because they look for favors in small places. Your favor will come from above. Amen. From before the Almighty. Amen. And that favor will be almighty on your behalf. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I declare you healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lassa fever can't get you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For your sake, Lassa fever is rebuked. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The same God that drove Ebola out is on Lassa fever's case. Amen. And is out of this nation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We put a stop to that epidemic. Amen. We put a stop to that outbreak. Amen. We command it to stop. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherever it is, stop. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You demon of epidemic of Lassa fever, we cast you out of this nation now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This nation is blessed. Amen. This nation is blessed. Amen. No matter the price of the dollar, we are blessed. Amen. No matter the price of crude, we are blessed. Amen. And you saying amen, you are blessed. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are blessed in the morning. Amen. You are blessed at noon. Amen. You are blessed at midnight. Amen. No evil will befall you. Amen. And no plague will come near your dwelling place. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, don't worship the doctor, worship God. Yes, amen. You hear what I said? Yes, don't worship the doctor, worship God. Worship him. Wake up in the morning and when you go to the toilet, as you are releasing either the liquid or the solid, be thanking God. Yes. Say, Lord, I thank you. You know, like I tell my wife, sometimes you come out of the toilet and say, man, this is a sign of a man that is blessed. And all I just did was to visit the White House. You know, you should thank God all the time. All right, God will keep your intestines working. Amen. If you have any affliction in your intestine, I rebuke it. Now I command healing to come there in Jesus' name. Amen. Any part from your throat, all right, to your backside, every part of your alimentary tract, especially now, I pray for that healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
if they say it's hemorrhoids you have, pile, whatever it is, I curse it now and I command healing to come there in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Liver, be healed.
Amen.
Because Jesus died for that sake. Once he rose up from the dead, he said, every liver, you are healed.
Amen.
You are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. The cause of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, sorry, I missed that myself. We add multiplication to it, all right? This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody on your left, on your right. Bless another person. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.